your hands. Father, we are opened for a revisitation of the vision, for redirection and reconstruction. We are open for what you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, which are all part of the seventh spirit of God. In this workshop, in this leadership, give us access to light and empower our shoulders to carry the weight of ministry that you've given unto us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Be seated in God's presence. I apologize a little bit for the delay. I know it's Sunday, and tomorrow is Prophet Asamoah. Please bring the man of God here. Bring the man of God here. Please. You know, somehow I felt you pass by. My spirit is very sensitive. Mr. Apostle here. Thank you for being here. Amen. Ozofo, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yesterday was very intense, and by the special grace of God, we saw building leaders that build, and we established that God does not go into mission till he finds and prepares the missionary. And we said, next to the work of redemption, Jesus built man. So we saw leadership aptitude and attitude. And we defined what aptitude was, the talent, the capacity, the wisdom, the expertise. And we saw what attitude was, the character that boost the charisma. And we said ministry is a combination of aptitude and attitude. Yesterday we saw some few aptitude that as a leader you must build. And we established, number one, clarity of vision. You must know where God has planted you, and you must be convicted over it. Number two, we said acquisition of knowledge. Knowledge is important. We must buy the truth and sell it not. And we saw how Moses, Daniel were all very knowledgeable. Number three, we established that ambition is very important. Ambition is the vehicle that drives vision. And we also saw courage. You must be courageous. You saw it. And lastly, we move to attitude. The kind of attitude that we must develop. We saw humility. Praise the Lord. Look at some of the humility. We saw spirituality and servanthood, sacrifice, appreciation, discipline, and others. Today, we want to, because the assignment is very clear, Mr. Osetutu, God said, go back to Ghana, train leaders because of the coming church growth. Train leaders, empower leaders for what is coming. And if you are not trained, you cannot reign. Amen? And ignorance brings intimidation. Ignorance brings weakness in men. Ignorance brings fear. So we are in a workshop tonight for the second edition. And tonight, we want to look at covenant keys to supernatural church growth. Covenant keys to next level church growth. Covenant keys to next level church growth. Church growth can be supernatural, but it is also intentional. Look at someone and say, church growth is intentional. By way of introduction, I want you to pay attention to receive this word. That the church of God is ordained to be an ever-growing and advancing church. The church of God, by God's ordination, is ordained to be an ever-growing and advancing church. The church of God. Where is Christopher Valley? Call him and let him come. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Matthew 16, verse 18. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it is clear. This expression is very vital because it will build in us a mentality that nothing can stop any church from advancing. Praise the Lord. Our mentality to also understand that God is the builder of every church. Look at someone and say, God is the builder of every church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not. So if there are things that are roadblocks to any church growth, then we must check it, because Jesus is ever building. So if the church of God is not being built and is not growing at the pace that Jesus has predetermined it, then we must endeavor to appropriate our steps very well. Please, do you agree to it? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, Reverend Ennis, please work with me. The Bible declares, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more and more. The shining sun. The part of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the world. So the church of the justified is expected to be more and more and more and more, not less and less. Praise the Lord. So we want to encapsulate this in our mentality. And we want it to sit in that church growth is a possibility. Look at someone and say, church growth is a possibility. Why should we have this mentality? The Bible declares in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we can never go beyond our own thinking. And our thinking is affected by the supernatural information that we have access to. I saw a revelation of a mega church. Mega church. And God said, go back to Ghana. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And build me a great church. But raise leaders. Because the coming invasion must come with like-minded mentality. Say, like-minded mentality. The question now is, what is supernatural church growth? What is supernatural church growth? Supernatural church growth means church growth at supernatural frequency. For instance, during the COVID time, when around October thereabout, when things were a bit eased up, during September, October, November, Baba Oyedepo announced that they just planted 10,000 churches. Do you remember? So you saw it. I even posted it. That doesn't make sense. 10,000 churches. Well, ladies and gentlemen, to God be the glory. You have a praise report. And we just planted 10,000 churches. 10,000. That is supernatural church growth. Praise the Lord. That is what I compiled a couple of videos for us to listen to, but I don't know. Mysteriously, they have disappeared from my phone. Some of the things, when I say, you think is a joke. Well, today, globally, 63,000 people has been added to our church. 63,000 people. Globally. The branches all over. 63,000 new souls has been added to the church. That is supernatural church growth. Church growth at supernatural frequency. And I believe that when we talk of supernatural frequency, it means it's beyond human comprehension and human calculation. Look at somebody and say, human comprehension and human calculation. It's beyond it. And I believe it will be our portion in Jesus' name. So in the subject of increase, I have discovered that there are two categories. Number one, we have addition, that is supernatural addition. And number two, we have supernatural multiplication. So in addition, we can say 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 3 = 5. 2 + 4 = 6. But in multiplication, 2 by 4 = 8. As far as the church of Christ is concerned, addition is not the will of God for us. Addition is slow and regular motion. One of the videos I saw, Bishop Oyedepo was saying that the church of God he was pastoring was not growing, and he did a calculation and estimation, and he said, it will take 100 years to grow 1,000 people. So addition is slow and regular motion. Addition is natural. But supernatural multiplication is the destiny of the end time church. And we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. If you have a moment, you can share the broadcast quickly so someone can receive the teaching, the workshop. God was adding to the early church, the first church. God was adding to the church daily. Look at someone say daily. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Daily addition. In daily addition. Daily addition. That is the destiny of the church. We are supposed to grow daily. Look at someone say, we are supposed to grow daily. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19, Jeremiah 30, verse 19, the Bible declares, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them. And I will multiply them and glorify them, and they shall not be small. I will multiply them, I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. They shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. So multiplication is God's ultimate intention for his church. God's ultimate intention for his church is multiplication. And until we possess the knowledge, we cannot activate the gates of it. Multiplication is the destiny of the end time church. We must multiply. I want us to look at the early church, their experience. When I talk of the early church, the first church, the church of the Acts of the Apostles, how much change in levels did the first church experience? How much? Number one, 3,000 men were added in one day. Uncle Moses. 3,000 men. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. 3,000 men were added in one day. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 one day. That's supernatural church growth. Praise the Lord. That's the early church. Civilization, zero. Technology, zero. But the experience growth at supernatural frequency. Growth at supernatural frequency. Do you know 3,000 men? This place can take only 500. Praise the Lord. That's what the architect told us, that if we push and put the chairs together, we arrange it very well, the highest it can take is 600. This building. So 3,000. Imagine it. That's a lot of people. Now, don't be fooled by pictures you see on Facebook. Sometimes you see pictures of large crowd and it's about 200 or 300. There's a way they take the pictures from the corners. You think it's 1,000 people. 3,000 is a lot of people. Look at this, it's a lot of people. But one day. The second one was 5,000 men. 5,000 men were added to the church. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. 5,000 men were added to the church. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men that came to be about what? 5,000. So church growth did not begin today. It began in the early church. And that will be our portion in Jesus' name. Then from 5,000, Acts chapter 6 to 7, it became an uncountable company. A great company. Acts chapter 6 verse 7. Apostle Stephen, it became a great company. See, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The church exploded. The church exploded. And I told you, we are following the faith of our fathers. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. We are following their faith. We are following their works. We are walking in their faith. We are walking in their steps. Now, after a great company that became innumerable, now the whole city became born again. Praise the Lord. The whole city received Christ. The whole city, like sprinters, became born again. And they were all converted to the apostles' faith. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Hundreds of thousands. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. The whole city. We pray, Lord, whatever you have endowed the church in this 21st century, may we walk in our capacity in Jesus' mighty name. We declare supernatural harvest. We declare supernatural harvest. We declare supernatural harvest. We declare explosion of church growth. A whole city. Apostle, one day, Bishop T.D. Jakes was doing a mega fest. Woman down loose and manpower. So we put all together, it's called mega fest. At the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. And Atlanta was choked that the police were using helicopters in the air, and they were with megaphones and begging people to go back. What a revival. The police were in the air, suspending them with megaphones. Please, traffic. Everybody in Atlanta was going to the Georgia Dome for MegaFest. The police was begging people to go back home. That's a revival. The whole city came to hear the word of God. So the early church experienced supernatural church growth at a frequency that was unimaginable. And we declare that will be our portion in Jesus' name. That will be our experience in Jesus' name. But there are fundamental things we need to know and imbibe. If the church of God is going to grow, there are things we need to activate. Next level church growth is born out of human God participation. Say human God participation. Next level church growth is born out of the participation of both God and man. That's why we call it covenant. The involvement of humanity and divinity. the involvement of the visible and the invisible, the divine and human participation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I, Paul, have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So there is a human involvement of planting and watering. Planting and what? And watering. Human responsibility for us to plant and water it. And God will give the increase. God will give the increase. You can see the influence of man here. There is what we must do for the church of God to grow. Look at someone said, there is what we must do for the church of God to grow. Man has to do the planting and watering before God will give the increase. So, church growth is the participation between God and man. Supernatural church growth is the participation between God and man. The participation between God and man. In Psalm 127, I want us to understand the three categories that causes supernatural church growth. Number one, God is the owner of the church. God is the owner of the church and must be always acknowledged. God is the owner of the church and must always be acknowledged. Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain who builds it. Except the Lord guards the city, watchman stays awake in vain. Number two, God is the builder of the church. He's the owner of the church, right? God is the owner of the church. Number two, Christ is the head of the church and must be recognized as so. God is the owner of the church and must be acknowledged. Christ is the head of the church and must be recognized as so. Matthew 16 verse 18. I will build my church. Only Christ has the capacity to build his church. The church is not any man's property. God owns it. Christ is the head. And number three, please pay attention. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. So he must be celebrated. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. So he must be celebrated. God the owner must be acknowledged. Christ the head must be recognized. The Spirit must be celebrated. Luke chapter 10 verse 2. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's the Holy Spirit. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. So, having this fundamental, our focus tonight, quickly, I don't want to keep you too long, is the engagement of leadership in securing the growth of the church. The engagement of leadership in seeing to the growth of the church. The reason is because God does
does not change. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. He always fulfills his own part. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. So God is constant. So what must leadership do to ensure that the church of God, as predetermined by God, must grow? The church of God grows. Four major areas where we need to be practically involved. Practically involved. The must-dos of leadership for exponential supernatural growth of God's church. Exponential supernatural church growth. Number one, is prayer. And I know we've heard about prayer, but I'm going to share some things scripturally that will re-inform you so you know you have not prayed. Prayer. A praying church will end as a growing church. A praying church is always a growing church. No church grows without a strong prayer base. Prayer. The first church in the book of Acts began with prayer and continued to grow as they continued to pray. And any leadership, any minister, any leader, any church that dislikes prayer must forget church growth. Must forget church growth. When Jesus left in Acts chapter 1 verse 14, look at this. And I want you to pay attention and imbibe this spiritual truth. As soon as Jesus left, these all continued with one accord in what? In prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. No joke. They continued. What we continue to do is what will result in a sudden manifestation. What we continue to do is what will result in a sudden manifestation. The things of God must not be done momentarily. It's not done momentarily. Praise the Lord. They are to be done continuously. The church continue to pray. And as they continue to pray, there was a sudden manifestation. Acts chapter 2 verse 2. There was an outbreak. A sudden manifestation. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Every sudden effect, please leaders, listen. Every sudden event begins with a gradual movement. Every sudden occurrence begins with a gradual movement. What we do gradually but consistently is what results in sudden results. That's why you don't stop praying as an individual. Because anytime as a minister, as a leader, you stop praying, you will start decaying. You don't just die, you decay. Praise the Lord. Let's keep up that. If we continue to do what the first church did, we will see what they saw. And I see as leaders, as we begin to pray, the entire sphincters, God will give us this city in Jesus' name. They continue to intercede, and as a result, they enjoy supernatural intervention. So, intercession is what provokes heavenly intervention. Intercession. Intercession always results in supernatural intervention. Every time we pray, as they pray, the Holy Ghost came down. The Holy Ghost came down. So every time we pray, the Holy Ghost is always attracted. The Holy Ghost is always interested. Everywhere people are praying, the Holy Ghost invites himself. And remember, who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus is the head of the church. God is the owner of the church, but the Holy Spirit is what? The Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. And suddenly, there was a noise abroad as they continued praying. And people gathered, Acts chapter 2, verse 6. So the work of the Holy Spirit is he's a God that can stir up people's heart towards you. How many people have entered into the gates of this church with strange reasons? That is the work of the Holy Ghost. But you can ignite that atmosphere through prayer. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. The multitude came together. The multitude what? Came together. And were confused because every one of them heard them speak in his own language. The multitude came together. When the sound occurred, there is a particular sound we are yet to make. And when we make that sound, we will not know where the multitude will come from. They will come from the north, south, east, and west. We are about to hit the supernatural church growth frequency. If you believe it, stand to your feet and shout the loudest, amen. Amen. Praise the living God. So, leaders, the number one publicity to church growth is prayer. The number one publicity, please write this down. The number one publicity to church growth is what? Prayer. The number one publicity. A praying church is about to grow. It's only a matter of time. A praying church is about to grow. And prayer was the practice of the early church. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Prayer was the practice of the early church. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. At the hour of prayer. Prayer was the practice, was the culture of the early church. A praying church is a growing church. It doesn't matter what we put in place as structural and structural policies. If leadership does not pray, this church cannot grow. Praise the living God. Prayer was the practice. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 to 33, prayed. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 to 33. Watch this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembling together was what? Shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, the Holy Ghost had come out chapter 2. But they continued. And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. So prayer brings a shaking. Look at verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were one of one heart and one soul. And this is the result of prayer. Prayer ignites unity of heart. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll be filled with the virtues of God. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in what? In common. That's the early church. That's the early church. And God told me to expose you to this revelation. So you know where God is taking. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. But remember, verse 31, when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was all shaken. So prayer is the practice for church growth. And we see it in the early church. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, they vowed to give themselves to prayer. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I didn't even expect this crowd. Maybe a few. And I would have been okay. Because I said, God, if only a handful will catch this revelation, God will do great things with us. They said, and we will give ourselves to prayer. So until leadership gives ourselves to prayer, we can never see the growth we want. So prayer is something that you practice daily. You give yourself to it. I'm telling you, most of the times you will not feel like praying. But it's a personal discipline. Praise the Lord. Most of the time you will not have the atmosphere of prayer. But you have to create it yourself. Like I was sharing this dawn about dependable God from Tim, what? Godfrey. This dawn, around 3 o'clock, I was restless. And I saw Tim Godfrey for the first time. Dependable God, he featured a young woman. Powerful song. And I zoomed in. Automatically, my spirit was in line. And I prayed till I fell asleep a little bit. A few minutes, then I woke up to come to church. They moved in prayer. They vowed to give themselves to prayer. And they moved in high dimension of increase. Acts chapter 6 verse 7. They gave themselves to prayer. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. And in verse 7. Then the word of God spread. And the number of the disciples multiplied what? Greatly in Jerusalem. They multiplied. So prayer is the number one publicity. If leadership cannot pray, no church will grow. Church grows at the pace of what? Prayer. And we see in the apostles, prayer was the key to church growth. Every praying church is a potential growing church. And I want us to look at a few specifics. What are the things we are praying about? Write these things down. Number one, we are praying to destroy barriers that seeks to destroy the growth of the church. Barriers. Barriers. Nobody should tell you every church has spiritual barriers. This place can be filled to capacity. And other times, this place can be as empty like there's nobody here. It's a spiritual barrier. Praise the Lord. Spiritual barriers. We pray to destroy barriers. We pray to destroy barriers that seeks to destroy the growth of the church. Number two, we pray against forces of darkness that seeks to stop the growth of the church. We pray to destroy what? Forces of darkness that seeks to destroy the growth of the church. There are forces holding down people from serving God. Forces. There are forces that cause rebellion in church. So it is in prayer that we exercise a stronger authority. Luke chapter 11, verse 21 to 22. It is in prayer that we exercise what? A stronger authority against the forces of darkness. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. So prayer is the stronger force that unblocks every roadblock to church growth. Because there are tormenting spirits. There are confusion spirits. There are demons that causes chaos in church. Misbehave. There are spirits that sows discord. So we pray to deal with these things. We pray over our territories to be safeguarded. Look at someone say, there are forces that disallows church growth. So church growth is a warfare. Praise the Lord. Look at someone say, church growth is a warfare. I think that was a wrong name. Look at someone say, church growth is a warfare. How many of you believe church growth is a warfare? Church does not grow gently. And I am empowered by the Lord to teach this with boldness, because I realize that the men whose faith we are walking in, they didn't have it easy. They didn't have it easy at all. Everything the young generation is experiencing, the old generation went through, and even more. Church grows by violence. Say violence. Matthew 11 verse 12. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent will take it by force. So we take it by force in prayer. As we engage the force of faith. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. We take it by force in prayer. As we engage the force of faith. We agree with one accord and we destroy all roadblocks that fight against the growth of this church. If you believe it, wave your hands and shout the loudest amen. We lift our hands and we counter and we decree and declare every barrier. barrier to the growth of this church, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Number three, we pray for the birthing of new converts and establishing them. The birthing of new converts and establishing them. In this area, I have seen it. A lot of people have been saved in this church, but in a short while, and they disappear. Because no one is praying for them, not just to be saved, but to be kept in the church. It takes prayer. We stay in prayer to travail for new converts. Isaiah 66, verse 7 to 8. God said, souls are never released without our travail in prayer. Look at someone says, souls are never released without our travail in prayer. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or a nation should be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. So we keep souls are won through prayer. And we keep souls also through prayer. We win souls through prayer, and we keep them in the church through prayer. Look at Paul. Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Look at Paul. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. So now when we pray, at first, Christ comes into our hearts. For the new convert, Christ comes into their hearts through prayer. But we pray the second time for Christ to be formed in them. Our mistake as leadership is we are excited when they receive Christ and it ends there. We baptize and it ends there. But we need to continue to pray for them for Christ to be fully formed in them. That is why many people come to church. They are saved and they disappear. Because we didn't continue to pray. We prayed for Christ to come into them. That is the nature and the life of Christ to come in. But we have to pray for the character of Christ to be fully permanent in them. Continuous prayer. No wonder the early church met daily. Say they met what? They met daily. And I've seen it. Bishop David Oyedepo have covenant hour of prayer every day, every morning, 5 a.m. Every day, every morning, 5 a.m. For 1 hour. David Abiyomi, they do it. Pastor Paul Ineche, they do it. Every day, covenant hour of prayer. 5 a.m. So we pray prayer of establishment for the souls that have been saved. The souls that Satan always wants to drive out of the church back to sin. We pray for their establishment. So prayer is a continuous thing we must do. And write this down. Prayer is a continuous A to Z of church growth. Prayer is a continuous A to Z of church growth. So it's not just evangelism. But prayer plays a major aspect. Prayer has retention ability. Say retention ability. To keep the souls
in God's house.
Number four, what is the focus of our prayer? We are to pray to command multitude to flock into church. We pray to command multitudes. So David Abioye said, for over 10 years, their church was not growing. Empty chairs, empty chairs, empty chairs. And one day he got angry. He took oil, anointed all the seats, and stood at the gate and commanded people to come into the church. And the next day, the whole place was filled to capacity. Dr. Pauline Etcher also shared a story of when they got to 5,000, the church was not growing. And he had a prophetic direction, and God said he should declare 5 services. And he stood and commanded the multitude. And he said he wrote 20,000 everywhere, every entry in his house, corner, every corner, 20,000, 20,000. And when he did that direction, he made that bold command. That Sunday, he realized that they had even gone past the 20,000 he was looking for. So these fathers, all of them went through scarcity, roadblocks. They went through battles when it comes to church growth. But church growth is a warfare. It's a warfare. It's a warfare that needs drastic approach to it through spirituality. Isaiah 43 verse 6. Isaiah 43 verse 5 to 6. Say to the Lord, give up and release our sons. Isaiah 43 verse 5 to 6. Quickly. We are to pray to command multitudes to come to church. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. Verse 6. I will say to the Lord, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. We declare anybody by destiny who has been assigned by God to be part of this church, we command them to come to this house. We command them to be released in Jesus' name. So we pray to command multitudes to enter into God's church. Multitudes. There are people God has ordained to be in this church. We need to command them to come in prayer. And as we do, the Father will fulfill it. The Father will fulfill it. John chapter 6 verse 44. As we do, the Father will fulfill it. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. As we do, the Father will fulfill it. As we command, the Father will fulfill it. In John chapter 10, as we do, Jesus will fulfill it too. John chapter 10 verse 16. Jesus will fulfill it. As we do. As we do. Jesus will fulfill it. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. So our prayer compels God to bring the souls in. Our prayer. As we pray, the Holy Ghost is engaged to stir their hearts. Heaven responds when we pray to bring about intervention. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 5 verse 26, God showed me this scripture. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 26, God showed me this scripture. And he will lift up an ensign. He will lift up a banner to the nation from afar and will whistle to them from the ends of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed, swiftly. They will come with speed. They will come with speed. We declare every empty chair of this house after today shall be filled to capacity. We declare people are coming from the north, south, and east. They will come with speed. They will come with speed. They will come with speed. So we command the masses to come. They will come with speed. And you know, One thing I want to show you today, that as we pray, angels are involved in church growth. Angels, as we pray, the scripture is Isaiah 5:26. Angels are called the reapers. God is the owner. Christ is the herd. The Holy Ghost is the word, the Lord of the harvest. Angels are called the reapers. Say the reapers. Matthew 13 verse 39. Matthew 13 verse 39. And I've seen it. Angels can lead people to church. As of your welcome, sir. Angels can lead people to church. And I've seen it. The young lady says she had an encounter of me what? Several times. We have been here in this church where strange people have come here and they said, a man, a woman led us to this church. Angels, watch this. The enemy who sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Angels are called reapers. They can assign people to a particular church. They can push people to come to church. Angels can become signboard to a particular church. Angels can lead people to the church. We declare, let angels go to the north, south, and east of Spinters, of Accra, and summon people to Destiny Empowerment Chapel in Jesus' mighty name. So prayer plays a part. We pray to destroy barriers, roadblocks. Praise the Lord. We pray to release the hearts of souls. Praise the living God. We pray for new converts to be saved. And we pray for new converts to be kept in the church. This is called kingdom advancement prayer. And not only that, we pray for angels to be released to send forth multitude. We command multitudes into the house through prayer. Number two, what is our engagement as leaders? Four more pages and we are out. So I'm going to finish very quick. What is our engagement? Engaging in preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching is the responsibility of every Christian leader. Preaching and teaching. They look simple, but you know, as I began to elaborate it, you saw that the prayer was deeper than what you thought. Right? Jesus sent his disciples to preach. We preach to the souls to be won. When we bring them to church, we teach them. We teach them. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Engaging in preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. I want to show you something. And he called his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. He sent them. He sent them. Every going church is a growing church. He sent them. Every going church is a growing church. He sent them. He sent them. He sent them. Every going church will end up as a growing church. Leadership, prayer is in place. We go out for souls. No church can grow without going by the leadership. No church can grow if leadership does not step out of our comfort zone. to reach out to the unreached. You are anointed to go out for souls. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16 verse 15, go ye into all the world, Mark 16:15, and preach the gospel to every creature.